only given to certain people.
Part of thinking perfection.
The perfection, you see, is what it's not any good, I think, for a teacher to tell a student, nobody's perfect. That's such a corny phrase by now, see, that it doesn't work because you don't believe it. But let us take now, in order to really finally begin to believe what we both want to believe, take Carol Nevelin. Would you say she's your teacher's star pupil? Is she a famous singer? Is she asked to perform at the Met, perform in San Francisco Opera Company, to perform world opera, right? So she must be good, right? Okay. She has learned the same technique from the same teacher as you are learning. Do you see that? Anita told me once that when the Met had its 100th year celebration of Beverly Sills, I forget what it was, they had 100 singers on. Do you remember watching that? And Carol Nevelin told Anita afterwards that she didn't sing well that day. Did you know about that?
No.
She didn't sing well that day because that day, just before she got on the air, she had an anxiety attack. And it's, you know, these things happen. They come. You drive on the freeway and one day you drive without gas that day. You know, it happens. But it happened to Carol Nevelin that she did not sing well that day. Do you see that it happens, that she is not some perfect person?
She's a person like all of us.
That's what I'm saying. And that she studied the technique with Esther 10 years ago. Anita studied it 6 years ago. You're studying it, how long have you been studying?
Two or three.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You begin to see the natural movement of it. When your time comes, you will have a technique the way Carol Nevelin has it, the way Anita has it. And it will be your voice given, coming from your body the way it's shaped, plus the technique. That equals art, right? Do you see that? Now what you have to do is take what we've said, see, because this is what's holding you up. You haven't made your peace with that. Years ago, in about 1972, I think, I had students at Cal Arts, and one day, I constantly had to talk to them about attitude, see, because it was attitude that was standing in the way of what they were learning. They could learn the darn stuff, that was not hard, it was the attitude. So I think I gave them an assignment once, saying that you cannot win approval, it's only given to you. That was one of the main assignments I had. Well, along with answering, writing, and they had to go home and write their thoughts out about it. One girl came and she said, I am beginning to realize that art, that acting, is no different in my life than anything else in my life. She said, the quality of how I go to the quality of how I go to the grocery store is the same as the quality of mind that I bring to my acting lesson.
In other words, the extension of the life part.
Exactly. It is your life. It is you, and it's the quality of love. You know, you could go to the grocery store with such negative quality, with such anger that you could trip, that you could not, you know, that your eye is blind, you could walk out into the way of traffic. Does that make sense? All right? With such a sense of frustration that when you, just as you went into my kitchen today and you say, oh, I'm all distracted, you dropped your coins, right? See, that's a quality of life. Had you had the quality of your life going into the kitchen to get a glass of water been as good as the quality of singing, you would have brought that mood out into sitting. Do you remember how long it took for us to begin our lesson because you answered me with a negative? I said, do you remember the beautiful little gift you gave me? And you said, did you throw it down the toilet? Isn't that interesting? That you see, look at the things that you did before you got here. Right? So do you see that if the quality of your life is beautiful, as you take a drink of water, as you hear me tell a story about a beautiful gift that you gave me, see, there was no reason to think that I did anything other than something beautiful with it. Isn't that so? Yeah, see, what happened was it kept you from art. Okay, so therefore, when you really examine it, everything that you do in your life is the same as what you do in your art. It's no different. You come to it with a positive state of mind, or you come to it with a negative state of mind. You come to it without trust. And how many times have you gone through life without trust? Like, I trust that I will make it there on time, instead of grinding the insides of your stomach because you're not trusting. It's the same thing. So, you go out when you leave here, and you must do what I call stream of consciousness writing. I do it all the time. When I'm performing, and when I need to emotionally in my life. Right? It's like talking to my best self. Let us say that we do have a higher self. You certainly do. I know it, I mean, because you're a lovely person. You have a higher self. I, to my astonishment, have a higher self also. My higher self, my higher wisdom, comes out when I take the pencil on the blank page and I just write. I don't care what I write. I'll say, I don't know why my teacher even took up that much time telling me about this. Why didn't she get to the song right away? You can do that. You're allowed to do it. You're allowed to get anything that is in your mind out.
I do that sometimes.
You do that, yeah, sometimes?
I have to do that because that's why I'm in trouble right now. I haven't done it for a whole year and a half.
You must go back to it. That's right.
If I do that continually, I probably would never.
You would be cleared out,
right?
Because you do know. You see, it's just that when we don't clear the thoughts out, see, what we have inside is a bunch of stuff floating around in there that confuses us. But we cannot write more than one sentence on a page at a time. Therefore, it brings clarity just that way. Now, what you have to do, when you get out, and do not go home, even though you're late. You know, you take
five. Nothing to do.
Huh? You have nothing to do this afternoon? That's fine. Then you take that time in the car, and I'll even give you paper.
Thank you.
If you need it. What you have to do is say, how am I going to come to terms with really believing that art is my life? That I plus the technique equal art. Just as Anita plus the technique equals art. Just as Carol Neblett plus the technique equals art. How am I going to believe this? And by now, the third year, it is time to believe it. You see, art isn't in a castle in fairyland. Art isn't imprisoned. Like the golden bird, you know, of the sorceress. Art isn't up in that top room where it is inaccessible. Art is you, your breath, everything in your life that you've ever thought, that you've ever felt, all your suffering and all your joy, connected to loosening the tongue, releasing the jaw hinge, phrasing, and learning the words and correcting the Italian. See, do you see that that's art? That's all it is. You see? And let us say that you get there and then you discover a little bit more. So then you move towards art again with understanding a new body of songs or modern American songs or whatever. That's all it is. Now you have to believe it. All right? Okay, now go back again. Now let's talk about the quality of a thought, the quality, the weight of an image. Do you remember when we were going, when we were breathing out, and we had to find the right weight of the breath in order to let the rest happen? The weight of the breath is the same as the weight of an image, is the same as the weight of a thought.
Mm.
Okay? See, now what happened was you took that image, or that thought this time, no, I'm okay, I'm good enough, make believe I'm a great singer. You took that and you took it too heavily. Right? When I said to you, just take the water and spit it out, remember how lightly you took it? Yeah. So you physically took it lightly. I want you to go back. I want you to get yourself ready with one, the thought of, I'm going to make believe that I'm ready to perform. Let's put it that way. I'm going to let the breath move in, and I'm going to feel a certain love of performing. When, remember, as you were walking in, I said selfless. What else did I say? Selfless, or an unselfish love, or an unselfish radiance. Now, see, if I say feel love, you know, feel that you are beautiful. If we don't remind ourselves that there is a higher beauty, that there is an unselfish radiance. Yes, you see, that puts you into perfect balance with the thought of, this is something I can do. I do it with such joy, with such pleasure. That takes up the space in your mind. There's no room for anything else. But if you don't, if you forget to think selfless, not you so much, Gloriana, because you really are a selfless and unselfish person. But there are some people who are vain, see, and will preen themselves and, oh, how much I love doing this. See the difference? We would not want to do that. So there is a feeling of floating out, being in your body and yet floating out beyond your body to all the other people in the room to sing this beautiful religious song.
I think art is beautiful. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Art.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But do you notice how it's connected? See, art, I've been saying this to my students the last couple of days, it's both objective and subjective. You understand what that means? The objective is, let's say you move it out into space to share with everyone else. The subjective is that it's your breath moving over your inner organs and everything you've ever felt, lived, suffered, enjoyed, is laid in there. So you see how that part is subjective? See, and as it moves out into objective. That's why when we say radiance plus unselfishness, you see how we're saying two opposites, right? But we're making them one.
In your
back, I'd like you to do the same thing again. It's very beautiful. Now with a breath, know that the breath moves that whole feeling back into the body, and all you do is go on and even be lighter and more trusting. And just find the breath and let the images come because it's beginning to work. Song, and we have a few more minutes with them. But first I have to talk to you. Between the first time and the second, can you describe what the second song was like, the second feeling was like in relation to the first?
Okay, first one, I felt that I was trying to hide her image.
All right.
I didn't really have it when I was over here. Second time I did, I felt that I let my voice alone instead of worrying about images and things like that. Can you be a little more specific on that area?
I think I'm going to leave that alone for now, okay? I think, let's leave that. I will keep it in mind. Now, you pointed out a French song, right? I can either do the French song, which I want to cover, or, and I think that's the way to go. Next time, you have got to remind me, in our private lesson, to talk to you about gesture, okay? Because it's something I want to teach you, and it has to be learned like everything else.
Oh, is that right?
Okay, yes it is, all right? So you will remind me, that's for Tuesday, April 1st. Let's go to the French song, so we can get at least to the interpretation of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two peaks.
Exactly. It's wonderfully put, the adrenaline, two peaks. So what we want is a harmonious relationship of physical parts. You know, a head, a nose, to chin, to shoulder, to ribs, the hip bones, and so forth. Just as I heard on the radio a person speaking about perfect pitch, then I'm glad I don't have perfect pitch. What I want is the harmonious relationship of pitch to pitch. That's a moving harmony of right pitch. That's what we want in the body. That's what we want in the opera. Let's take Figaro for a moment. We want the Figaro, the Cherubino, let's say, to come in with this much moving energy, growing into this much energy, you know, when the count goes, growing into this much energy, growing into where he jumps out of the window, growing into coming in at the very end. Did you see? But do you see how my hands, that's the way it should go. You see, that's beauty, you see. But if the eagerness is too much, then we'll come in, we'll jump high, we'll go too low, we'll jump out. So never does the audience have this sense of moving energy and a dynamic in the theatrical performance, which sort of grew seamlessly. That's what we want, is the seamless performance. And that has to do with not too much eagerness. Dynamic means that the performance can grow as a living. large as you can possibly grow. But did you see how my hands went? It can also be immediate. But underneath there's that ease of suddenly happening, a thunderstorm. That's fine. Robert Redford, who I think is one of our great movie actors, I say this because a lot of people don't know how good he is an absolutely seamless actor. If you've ever seen his performances, his ego is balanced throughout the body. And when he moves, when he acts, when he changes, when a thought goes through his head, the body is totally free for a thought to happen here. And then that thought moves into what he has to say. Absolutely perfect actor, and very deep. So he's literally in touch with the base part of his body. He's in touch there. Jane Fonda is
she's very cerebral.
Absolutely. And it's not even, I admire and respect that word cerebral. I love cerebral. I don't think she's that bright. What I think is that she's very mental, which I don't, a word I don't respect as much as I respect the word cerebral. Yes, she is, she works not from intellect, which is what I connect with cerebral, but from intelligence. Yeah, the kind of intelligence which we need to get through the day. She works from that intelligence, so it's neither shining intellect nor deep, deep wisdom. It's ordinary, everyday, very nice intelligence, more than most people have. And I would probably find a reason to compliment her on that. But I'm not talking about that kind of intelligence right now. Right. Okay. So, I will use with you the word natural intelligence sometimes. I might have used it already when I say, look, art is not something out there that we have to reach to. Art is me plus technique equals art. Me with my natural intelligence plus technique equals art. Art is you with your natural intelligence plus technique equals art. That's all it is. It's not something greater than we are, but it's not less than we are. It's not, we can't move into it that quickly. We move into it through technique. And this is what we learn. And I learned to release the pressure here, and just as you're going to learn to release it. And I learned to let the word move forward. I learned to be able to let the thought move into what I said on stage. So I'm going to show you a scene. I'm going to play out a scene for a minute. Where are you going? No, I didn't. You see how I kept an open channel, and the thought, did you see the breath moving? So I was really acting on the breath. Well, you can do little cheeky things like, the little cheeky things like that. But that's good. What I have learned, that's a technique. I learned, maybe I used to do it accidentally, and then I sort of put it all together. I think that's the way one does really act. One allows the breath to move through, the oxygen comes up and brings the thought down, and all of it is connected into the word. That's really what acting is. It's that simple. What stands in the way, then, is this. That, you see, look. What it does is immediately cuts off the breath, therefore it cuts off the thought. Okay, so let's for a moment, because you can do the same thing. I'm pleased at what you said, but now I want to show you that it's for you also. Suppose you first find a
the simplest technique. I want you to breathe in. I'll give you this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just to see whether you can just, without text, out of context, just see whether you can breathe out. And as the breath comes back into the body, connect it to you. And I said to her, I said, you tell me to be fearless. I think I said to her as I was leaving, I remember just halfway in the middle of the room, about to leave through the, I said, you tell me to be fearless. I said, but I knew that when Herbert did such and such, that my son would suffer from that. And then I said, so don't tell me to be, you know, trusting and fearless. And then I left, you know. The next time I came, she said, that's superstition.
Yeah.
She said, you can't know.
Yeah.
She said, you cannot know that because this happened, this happened.
Yeah.
And I looked, and you know, I'm 6 feet tall, and she was 4 foot one. Mm-hmm. And I looked down at this little lady, and I suddenly saw that she was right. And what I got was this picture that, let's say, the alphabet is thrown into the world right up there. The letters are every which way, see?
Mm-hmm.
And I can see the jumble of A, B, 1, 2, 3, 4. I can see it all right there, mm-hmm. up to here. Look, my eyes can go right out. See my fingers? Right there. And let's say it's all numbers, right? And I could even, if I wanted to, take those numbers and put them in a column.
Yeah.
But if I try to add them up, that conclusion is a mistake because there are numbers out behind me,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what those numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only working mm-hmm. with this much knowledge,
mm-hmm.
see? And even so,
mm-hmm.
as I heard on the radio on Thursday afternoon in an interview with astronauts and NASA,
uh-huh.
saying, do you trust them?
Uh-huh.
Okay. One astronaut said, look, he said, the whole world is confused and doing the wrong things. He says, listen, he says, on a clear day you can barely grab your ass with both hands.
Uh-huh.
Right? So here we are, we have all of this in front of us on a clear day with all those numbers. I can barely
mm-hmm.
put them in to some sort of organizational shape.
Yeah.
I cannot grab my mental ass with both hands. I can't do it.
Yeah, but don't.
Okay, so therefore you cannot make conclusions.
Yeah.
You cannot make conclusions about men, about acting,
yeah.
about life.
I just, something made me do that, but now I'm letting it go.
Of course.
But no. I did, I got into this weird thing.
Of course you did.
I said to myself before, I said, and I said it to Joe, I said, Julie, that, you know, I said, men bait you and then they poison you. I don't know, I got that in my head,
oh,
you know.
Yeah,
uh-huh. But I burned it, I know, I wrote it all out. I burned it.
Yeah, but I think it's perfectly real
yeah.
to have been devastated
yeah.
by it. I mean, after all, that's what you... I mean, where people were either happy or devastated or ecstatic or mundane or, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have all of those behaviors to be.
This person didn't do anything so weird. It wasn't that at all.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. What I'm saying is to have been, you know, even as much as devastated by the fact that it didn't work or whatever, you know, it wasn't a lovely event.
It was even fun.
Okay. And what I'm trying, I don't want to ask into it because you're giving me so many different messages.
It's just the fact that he was a man. That's all. And because I went out with one, that's really all of it. Because I never do it or something.
That's right. It is hard to do. Isn't it hard to do? One of the reasons I'm happy is that I don't do that anymore.
I never do it. But
yeah.
It just happens.
You have to do it when it comes.
Well, this is the first time it ever happened that I was vaguely interested in
that's
doing
right.
it. So
exactly.
I did it.
And you do have to take this chance.
Yeah.
He said, because you're young, and it would be foolish not to. To just do it when it comes your way. For me, you know, when people say, aren't you interested in it? I say, no, I'm really not, you know, because I'm finished already, and the chances are so unlikely, really. So that, then finally I thought, and I said, well, if somebody threw himself in front of the wheels of my car, I wouldn't drive over him and drive away, I'd stop the car.
Right. Hey,
but that's me. You have to say, if somebody asks for a ride.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Did you take that audition? Oh, you told me about it.
I got it. I got in.
I
didn't think I was. In fact, I woke up one morning and I thought, I didn't get in.
Oh, of course you got in. Okay, of course you got in. Right. Now let's talk about it. You know, now that we don't have to use it as an audition anymore. This is what we want. We were working on last time was a lightness or an openness? Tell me what we were working on.
Yeah, what happened was,
yeah,
by the end of the class, I was really open, and I clammed up, I guess.
Oh,
I
that's right.
I got scared of this.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, the more we do it, like you put your toe in the water,
mm-hmm,
and then you take it out, and next week you do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's just a question of repeating,
mm-hmm,
that one physical feeling,
mm-hmm,
until, just like the other Gail, yeah, it was a physical feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Of letting the breath come in and 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. And what Gail was doing was what you did. It would be 1, 2, 3. Did you feel the separation,
mm-hmm,
instead of 1, 2, 3?
Mm-hmm.
Just simple belief that that's the way the exercise goes. Now I want to talk about that. We talked about, you know, the feeling of freedom. I think it was wise of you in the way you chose to do the audition to start it the way that you did, which was, and so, Signora,
mm-hmm,
Martha, that was smart because it was really what you were able to handle at that time. Not to